So much more to get to from the weekend in the NFL. Joining me to get into all of that is a Bleacher Report NFL National lead writer, the author of numerous books, including You Negotiate Like a Girl with Amy Trask and Snake, the legendary life of Ken Stabler. My man Mike Freeman's back. Mike, good morning. What's going on? How are you, Mike?
So I think we need to take a very quick second here, Jim, to thank someone. And the person I want to thank is Marshall Newhouse for the single greatest moment in the history of offensive line play, where he gives up a fumble, then picks up a fumble, then fumbles again, then gets helicoptered. I've watched that gif at least 700 times because I'm a loser with no life, but it's amazing. For people who haven't seen it, you have to go see it. So we can't begin your great show without that great moment. That is one of the best moments, not Hall of Fame play on the field, not some of these great linemen, not Anthony Munoz, Newhouse, Jim.
Mike Freeman, I'm so good. Mike, how about you? What's going on? How you living?
Everything's great, man.
Yeah, sure it is. That was an amazing thing, right? You ever see a dude like that get helicoptered like that? And do you think maybe, just maybe, he thought he was going to go house call with that?
He thought he was going to score.
You know he did.
And he was running so fast. I mean, that's a 300-pound dude. He had to be running like a 4.6. And he just got blasted. I got to give it to him, though.
Oh, you have to.
I love that.
No, my
right?
man.
I mean,
my man was living.
You don't get moments like that much in your career. It was so great.
No, he was living the dream. He was living the dream of every lineman. He was going to take that thing right to the house and run right through the locker room, into the street, and all the way home until it wasn't meant to be. Mike Freeman joining us. All right, Mike, I'm glad you started with that. Listen, if you and I had been talking last Monday, the day after Houston lost that thriller to Houston, or I said where the Texans lost, Deshaun Watson threw for 400 yards. He rushed for nearly 70 more. Had we had a conversation about that then, what would you have been saying about the remainder of the Texans season?
It's a great question, and I was at the Texans-Seattle game. I was covering that game, and it was one of the better regular season games I've ever seen, particularly with the quarterback play. Russell Wilson was great, but Deshaun Watson, a rookie, was outstanding, and you would have had to have said that this was a team that was really going to go places both this year and long term. I mean, because one of the things, Jim, as you know, that really has hampered the Texans is just their quarterback play has been so awful. They had guys like Brock Osweiler and some of these other dudes, but they had this terrific defense. And you saw, I mean, it's not perfect, but that defense was still very good. Now they had the quarterback. So this is a franchise that was this year going to go places and do some big things, and then he gets hurt, and it transforms everything. And I'll just say real quick, I mean, I don't know how, if you're the Texans, I mean, I know it won't happen, I know. But if you don't give Colin Kaepernick a call and at least work him out and try, he can really kind of save your season. And I know they're not going to do it, but it would be – it's such an obvious move and an obvious thing that would help really transform them back into a contender again for this year, because right now they're not winning anything with their quarterback play right now. They're just not.
Mike Freeman joining us, and we're talking about quarterback play. They've got Tom Savage, Matt McGloin, TJ Yates, and every single time, Mike, a quarterback gets hurt or plays terribly, the issue does come up. Why is Colin Kaepernick not in the NFL right now? So right now, what is the answer to that question? Why isn't he?
The answer is the same as it was when this whole thing first started. It's a little more complicated now, but the guts of the problem remain the same. And that's how the NFL, a lot of the owners, don't like what he did. They don't like the protest. They think he was being anti-American, anti-flag, anti-military, none of which is true. He was protesting. He was drawing attention to social justice issues. That was always the core of what he did. And in response to that, and even after he left, a lot of players took up the mantle and have done the same thing. It was never anything about anti-flag or anti-police. That's the guts of it. The collusion case he has against the league complicates matters. But even if there wasn't one, he still wouldn't sign. I think I've said on your show before, months ago, I didn't think he would play again. I've written this. I didn't think he'd play again, and I still kind of think that's the case. It's just the owners, it's just a bunch of old fuddy-duddies who don't want a guy like that in the organization. So that's the core. That's why he's still not playing. But these guys, Tim, look around the league at the quarterback play, some of it, and the guys that are playing it. It's a joke. So a lot of these owners who don't want to sign him, they're shitting themselves in the foot.
Right.
I mean, you're spiting yourself over an issue that's not really an issue, and you're going to lose because of their stubbornness. And that's the case with the Texans.
Mike Freeman joining us. He's a Bleacher Report NFL National lead writer. Mike, I got to pick my spots because we don't have a ton of time and there's so many things to cover. But let me ask you this. Have you ever seen anything like A.J. Green taking down Jalen Ramsey the way he did?
I've never seen anything like that. And I don't think I've ever seen like a jiu-jitsu chokehold move in the NFL before. There's something I may not be remembering. But A.J. Green's one of guys that if you picked a guy or if you had a list of guys that said who would do that, he'd be at the bottom of the list. Mm-hmm. He's a very laid-back guy who doesn't say much, doesn't cause a lot of trouble, and then he goes out there and does that. And I'll say this real quick. There was a lot of fights this weekend.
There were.
And I don't know if it's just – I don't know what it is, but this season has been a lot of that stuff. More than I've seen in recent years. So everybody's getting their fight on, Jim.
And seemingly a lot of it, Mike, from the Bengals. So much so you had this amazing tweet yesterday, quote, "If the Bengals fought as hard to win games as much as they cheap shot dudes, they'd be the Patriots," end quote. Why do you think, and well done, Mike, well done, why do you think that is with the Bengals? What's going on?
There's been, as good as Marvin Lewis has been as a coach, he's been pretty good. There's been a lack of sort of institutional control there, and Lewis has never been able to corral some of the stronger personalities. Perfect is a really big-time case of that. He's just never been able to do it. It's just been a freewheeling kind of locker room, which in some cases is good, and in some cases, as we've seen with them, is bad. There's a line you can approach, but if you cross it, you get suspended, you get fined, you lose control of your locker room. And he's never had a full control of his locker room. I think the players really like him, but I think when he's talked to them about being disciplined, they tune him out. I mean, you don't see this stuff happening with the Patriots. You don't see it happening with the Eagles. You don't see a lot of stuff happening with a lot of really successful franchises. But Marvin has never been able to sort of corral that problem.
Mike Freeman joining us for a couple of more moments. He is a Bleacher Report NFL National lead writer. He is the author of numerous books as well. Mike, before you go, I want to get your thoughts on Carolina and Cam Newton. Carolina beats Atlanta yesterday. They've won two straight. But when you look at Cam Newton over the course of this season, what exactly do you see? Does he seem like the guy that he was when he won the NFL MVP award 2 years ago?
I see a guy, and I know people around the league I talk to see a guy who they think of. I think incredibly highly of him as a player. Just looking at him as a football player and nothing else, I think of him as a really, really talented guy who has mostly been ill-served by his front office and has taken some unbelievable shots constantly, physically just battered. And I see him wearing down. And around the league, guys see him wearing down as well. Can he change that, Jim? He can change that. And he's still young enough. He can still play in this league a long time. But you've seen a guy where I think the wear and tear is finally starting to get to him. But he is still so dynamic. Some of the plays he made yesterday, he continues to make, are amazing. If you could just put more explosive guys around him and have him sit in the pocket a little bit more, it would be a lot better for him. But they haven't been able to do that. And eventually that physical toll, as you know, Jim, eventually that catches up to you, especially for a guy who takes the kind of shots that he does.
I mean, Mike, finally, is it already catching up? I mean, it seems ridiculous to suggest that maybe he's past his prime when he's only 28. But as you point out, this guy's taken a terrific pounding. When you consider the number of shots that he has taken, is there more mileage on him than your typical 28-year-old quarterback? And could he be on the decline already?
Yeah, I think that's true. You don't see a lot of quarterbacks really take the kind of shots consistently that he does. A lot of it is his style of play. He's a running quarterback. He hits the edges a lot. He's a huge guy, so he takes a lot of shots. But also, he's because he doesn't have a lot around him. they're trying to change that a little bit with Christian McCaffrey and some other guys, but because he doesn't have a lot around him in general, he the entire offense is pretty much on him. And he bears the brunt of it. He's aging in dog years. Even by football standards, he's aging very, very rapidly. But you just hope that they can put guys around him and protect him better, and then maybe he can last a little longer in this league.
Mike Freeman's the author of numerous books, including You Negotiate Like a Girl with Amy Trask and Snake, The Legendary Life of Ken Stabler, and a Bleacher Report NFL national lead writer. Mike, always good to have you on. Thank you so much. We'll do it again soon.
Live long and prosper, baby.
Live long and prosper, Mike. Live long and prosper. It's Mike Freeman, Star Trek nut. Coming up next hour, Dennis Dodd joins us.